it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Tuesday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, we are kicking Jason Ross out of here. You gotta go, Jason. We'll talk to you a little bit later. We have some business to attend to. And thank you, Nate Littlefield, behind the glass for us today. We have some business to attend to as the Kings did not take care of theirs. Surprise, surprise. And this is what I'm thinking, Chris. You know, nowadays with artificial intelligence and AI, I was thinking if we had enough time, what we should have done is just make a compilation of other shows that we've done after the Kings have tricked off games that they were supposed to take care of business and win, and they did not. And we could have just hung out. We could have had AI versions of ourselves, just a compilation, because there isn't really anything else that we can say that we have not talked about multiple times this season. Yep. Multiple times.
Yeah.
It's the same thing wrapped up in it. We literally did this show a week ago.
Yes.
We did it a
week ago. Exactly.
Yep. The same show.
Yep. Right after the Kings lost to the Heat.
The same exact show.
Yep. We're talking about the same things.
The same things. Effort. Finishing.
Consistency.
Consistency. The same exact things. And all that's happened during that time is that De'Aaron Fox got injured and is back, and you beat another top team.
Yes, our hopes got up again.
Mine, just to lose to a team you had no business losing to again.
Yep.
And Chris and I, we are very open. We have said on this show that, hey, let's try to stick to this season. Let's focus on this season. And we still feel that way, okay? But there comes a point in time where you cannot continue to just talk about the same exact things over and over. We have sound. We can play sound. But let me tell you this. You already heard it. Even if you haven't, you've already heard it. What De'Aaron Fox had to say, you already heard it. What Mike Brown had to say, you already heard it. So we can play it for you.
Sure.
But you've already heard it.
You already
so
know what they say.
We are opening up the phone lines, 916-339-1140, all day, okay? And even though we said we want to focus on this season, we're to the point now, if you want to talk about the future and the plan, you can talk about it. All right? We can talk about the game. We can talk about Coach Mike Brown. We can talk about De'Aaron Fox. We can talk about Sabonis. We can talk about Kevin Huerter. We can talk about HB.
Kessler Edwards.
Anybody. You can, if you are to the point where you want to talk about the future, we will do that too. We're not going to police fandom anymore, because life is too short. Life is too hard. And when you got to watch Kings basketball in 2024, I hope you're eating your beets and drinking a lot of water, because if not, your blood pressure is going to be through the roof. Go ahead, Chris. I got nothing else now.
No, I mean, that was, I don't know if that was actually you or if that was AI, Alan, but it was beautifully said. And I would love to keep that bit going, that, you know, let's just keep the mystery if this is AI or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, everything you said is right. It's justified. I definitely agree with it. I would love to hear how people are feeling right now, just in terms of the grand scope of things. Definitely am curious. Yesterday, when I was doing the post-game live stream, a lot of comments talking about Mike Brown, coaching. Can we blame this on coaching, or how much of this is coaching? How much of this is players? I would honestly love to hear everyone's opinion on it, because I just don't see it that way. I really don't. I think I naturally don't look at coaching as the reason why teams don't perform. I think there are clear and obvious things that coaches have impact on, but the amount of things that I'm seeing towards Mike Brown feel a little bit like it's scapegoating. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear from the fans' perspective, what are specific things that you're seeing from Mike Brown that is upsetting you? And because it's every night, I mean, you know, in the beginning of the season, we would get Brown out of town comments, things like that. But it feels like there is legitimate questioning happening of Mike Brown and what's going on right now. So I just legitimately want to hear what people's concerns are for the season. And I you know, I would love to give my two cents on it as well, but I'm really, really curious just how, what people are specifically seeing that they don't want to put on the players. Because in my eyes, this is a lot on the Jimmys and Joes. I'm seeing a lot of things out there. Yeah, you know, the end of game execution stuff, the timeouts at the end of the game, absolutely. There are things, I'm not saying Mike Brown is blameless in any of this, but I just think that it's a lot of players going out there, not executing, not hitting shots, and you know, it's again, like you said, I mean, we've seen this so much this season. This team lives and dies by making shots, and not enough times against the Chicago Bulls, man, you should be able to hold them. I think they scored 37 points in, I'm looking at the wrong box score. They scored 27 points. That's what it was. And the Kings scored 20 in that second quarter. It shouldn't be just the Kings can't hit shots, and so they lose a game. At some point, they're going to have to hold a team like Chicago to a 20-point quarter, because, frankly, that's absolutely what should happen.
We're talking about Chicago.
It's the Chicago Bulls,
we're talking about,
man.
Chicago.
It does not get easier than that in this league. Like, I know they're the 9 seed in the East, but with the Kings' schedule, like, they have Spurs, they have, you know, the Bulls are about as easy as it's going to get down the stretch here. So if you can't take care of teams like that, you know, I just don't know how, again, we can bet on this team to show up against any bad team.
At this point, yeah, you can look at March and say on paper it's
looks easy,
softer,
looks great,
but what is paper? What is paper at this point? And by the way, I don't know if it was Nate or we played with the idea that DeRozan over three pointers, he made two.
Yeah, he made two.
Yeah, he had
I was punching Chris. Yeah. I should have taken it because everybody can make a three against his team.
It's incredible.
I got up this morning and checked that stat line because I was like, I got to know.
He took what? Yeah. I think he was 2 for 3.
Two for three.
Unreal.
Yeah, unreal.
Unreal.
We were thinking about the under. Chris pitched the idea. It's like,
he missed the first one, too.
Unreal.
We didn't actually do it.
No,
for
we
the
did
record,
not.
But
yeah,
we were just.
It's just crazy.
We're tossing it around.
It's just crazy. We have other things to talk about as well. By the way, you want your chance to see Breezy. Chris Brown. That is at 1 p.m. And we will, I'll pick the number today.
Yeah.
I'll keep it simple. I'll pick the number caller today. That's at 1 p.m. Your chance to see Chris Brown. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports. All you got to do is call the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline at 916-339-1140. That is at 1 p.m. if you want to go see Chris Brown. That is July 30th. It'll be hot. I keep hearing that it's going to get real hot in Sacramento. Look,
I'm
from the Bay. You know what I mean? But I grew up in Concord. Concord does get hot. Not Oakland, not Alameda, but Concord gets hot. So I feel like I'm prepared. I'm probably not prepared.
105 for a week or two straight.
You could fry an egg on the sidewalk. Well, you know.
Yes, you can.
You know who wasn't hot last night?
The Sacramento Kings.
When it mattered most.
Yes, when it mattered the most.
And you got to blitz everybody. You got to blitz everybody. And oh my goodness. And people are asking questions. Again, we're going to get to this literally in 3 minutes here and do more of a deep dive. Why all the double teaming? Because they're getting cooked.
Cooked. Absolutely.
That's
destroyed.
Why.
Yeah.
You can try to pretty this thing up, but they're blitzing because you can't stay in front of your man, and you can't stay in front of your man. And Keegan Murray was the only guy that you don't have to blitz
yesterday.
With. And once he got five fouls, it was done.
Yeah,
it was done.
It was cooked.
So
that's
just what this team is.
Yeah.
You have a starting guard. Okay, that cannot make shots, that you close with him because you have no other choice. You have a starting forward that you diagnose about halfway through the game, he is unplayable. That's 2 out of 5.
Yep.
The other guy is in his second year, and the other two are your leaders but can't hit a free throw. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the Sacramento Kings.
What are we talking about?
It's crazy. And then on the other side, too, Alan, you got your first experience of Coby White. I'm your dad. And this is what he does to the Sacramento Kings. I was reading his
slow start, too. I was like, what are these guys talking about?
Coby White had zero shot attempts in the first quarter. Not a single point, not a single shot, not a single free throw. He ended with 39 points, 37 points.
37 points.
In regulation. Like just in normal flow of, and he was 11 of 15 heading into that fourth quarter. He was on fire all night long. And Coby White has now had 3 30-point games in his 5 years as an NBA player.
That game last night might change the trajectory of the Bulls.
Do we just see another Kings-made generational wealth? We saw it with our boy Diop Reef.
I gotta say,
Skylar Mays.
You were correct. The Bulls fans were out, and they were loud last night. Yeah. You know, I'm not talking about puff puff pass. We went ahead and passed that hopium over to the Bulls because I'm off it.
It's crazy.
I'm off it. When we get back on the train and we discuss what went wrong. If you have Mike Brown blame, show yourself. Call in, text in. Sack chat in 916-339-1140. I asked the question on X on Twitter last night. We will go over some of the answers and see if we think that they are legit or not. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Patty Mills, a lot of people's buyout savior, is signing with another team that beat the Kings just last week, the Miami Heat. Patty Mills is going to Miami Heat. I mean, you got, like, I don't know who backs up Rozier. Really, they've been playing Duncan and Tyler Hero in that point guard role. Point guard is just turning into a fluid thing, right?
Yeah, ball handler.
Yeah.
It's really what it is.
Whatever a team needs. And the Heat, they love picking up guys like that. He'll probably shoot 40% in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen.
50. I'd say 50% in the playoffs and probably all wide open corner threes. And, yeah, he'll probably win them a game or two. And that's Heat culture, man.
That's culture.
That's exactly what it is. And it's real. And that's how the rich get richer. I mean, not that Patty Mills is really going to change the trajectory of their season, but that's just a really good veteran signing by a team that just kind of does that, you know?
Yeah.
Very Kyle Lowry-esque by them.
They got rid of one Kyle, and they get another one. From the 209, this falls on Fox. He's the leader, and he isn't fourth quarter clutch this year. Last season, he was taking over the fourth quarter. This year, not so much.
Definitely not yesterday. I mean, that was the big standout for me. I mean, we saw Malik Monk kind of had to put the cape on in Minnesota on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then last night, you have Malik in the second half. Just hear De'Aaron and Malik's stats. Malik in the second half, 0 of 6 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3. He scored 0 points in 16 minutes. De'Aaron Fox in that fourth quarter, 1 point, 1 assist, 0 for 4 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3, 3 turnovers. Just was flat out wasn't good enough yesterday. And absolutely, like, the Kings, they've been a lot less reliant on fourth quarter Fox this year, but on a night like last, man, you know what? In a weird way, I asked for this, did I not? I said, I want to see DeRozan, want to see Fox go head-to-head down the stretch because DeRozan's second right now in Clutch Player of the Year, and De'Aaron, as we know, won it last year. And honestly, that's what it came down to. And DeMar DeRozan in the fourth, so I just read De'Aaron again, 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 1 point, 1 assist, 3 turnovers for Fox in that fourth quarter. The Bulls Clutch Player of the Year candidate, 7 of 7 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 2 steals, 1 turnover, 19 points, plus 18 in the box plus minus, just in the fourth quarter for DeMar DeRozan. That's the difference, is that their guy closed that game out and ours didn't. And I'm not going to say it's some grand statement about De'Aaron Fox losing his clutch ability or anything like that. I just think that, you know, someone's got to be on the losing end of those things. But if you're looking for how the Kings could pull that game out yesterday, it's their guy who they rely on to be big in those moments being a lot bigger than 1 point and one assist.
And then, look, it's a make or miss league, but I'm sitting here before the timeout when De'Aaron Fox then threw the ball away and there was miscommunication.
There's one turnover.
They're down 2, and I know he's been hitting them, but a transition 3?
Yeah.
A transition 3. Luckily, they got the rebound.
Yeah.
But what?
Shout out Davion.
Are you doing?
Made no sense to me. I've told you. I've told Brandon. I've told Frankie countless times during the game. Like, De'Aaron's, you live and die by it sometimes when he's feeling it from the perimeter. But that was a bad shot. That was a bad shot.
And even if you make it, you're only up one. So it's not as if you're protecting risk yourself from the bad defense.
Yep.
Because you still have to play the defense.
You
got to
get the stop, right?
So just tie the game.
Yep.
The Kings led 89.
And that's not on Mike Brown. Like, that's not something on Mike Brown. I think, like, that's where I'm going. But, yeah.
The Kings led 89-67 with 3 minutes and 28 seconds to go in the third quarter. After that, they were outscored. After all that, they were outscored 46-20 the rest of the game. 46-20. And your calling card.
In 15 minutes.
The calling card is offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Offense.
Yeah. Should be able to match some of that. And that's the again, and we're talking about the Bulls, and I feel like we had this conversation after the Kings played the Spurs, where it's like, we're talking about Team X here. Not one of the best teams in the league, okay?
They're 16th in defensive rating.
I feel like Allen Iverson talking about practice. Okay? Yeah. We're talking about practice. We're talking about the Bulls here, man. Not the Clippers. Not the T-Wolves, okay?
They're not even playing for
anything.
Not
the Nuggets.
Besides pride.
And, Zach LaVine's not out there. Patrick Williams isn't out there. They got Torrey Craig's not. Like, they're a broken-down team. And, again, Kings at full health. 100% full health with the exception of Sasha Vezenkov. But Sasha's not making the difference in yesterday's game. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, that's a game that they have to win. Like, we've talked about it now with the Spurs game and with this. Like, these games are just as, if not more important than winning games against the Timberwolves and winning games against the Nuggets, because you have, like, these are just games that you chalk in. Like, you just have to say, oh, no, the Kings are going to beat the Bulls tonight, because if they're truly going to be a 6 seed or a 5 seed, or as Monty McNair said on these airwaves, their goal was to be hopefully a 4 seed.
Oh, my goodness. That's laughable.
You just have to beat the Bulls. There's no question of, oh, well, you know, maybe if they're hot on that. No. Like, you just have to beat those teams if you want to be talked about at a certain level. And we've just seen it three too many times now that the Kings just they cannot take care of the easy games in front of them.
Now, just to say this now. Okay, and I know, Chris, I know that we don't agree on this. We spoke about this last night. The Lakers are beating the Kings tomorrow. The Lakers are beating the Kings. I'm mentally preparing. The Lakers are rolling.
Nah.
You say, okay, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Is that the only onage that they have?
It's the only onage they have. Like, there's a lot of juice going into that matchup, and I think, you know, in a weird way, losses have a weird way of recentering yourself. And I think that, you know, after
they're getting centered
once a week.
Yeah,
it's like a level. It's
like,
they're really dialing it in right now. But I just think that the Lakers, yeah, they're playing really hot right now. That's the Kings just own that matchup. And, I just think that, yeah, after a loss, you're probably going to be as focused as ever. And that's also the first night of a back-to-back against the Spurs. I just think that they're going to take care of business there. I really do. I mean, they've just destroyed the Lakers all year, and I just don't really have much fear of how the Kings match up against the Lakers.
I hope.
Crazier things have happened.
This is what we love about sports. You have the 209.
I'm starting to not love this.
No, this is from the 209 on the text line. The criticism of Fox was ridiculous. He finally had 10 assists.
Yes.
It was simply turnovers. They did not take care of the ball. I'm trying to confirm how many turnovers Fox had himself.
He was passing better than I've seen.
No,
him
the
pass
playmaking
a really long
has
time
been
yesterday.
Incredible.
It was great last night.
It's
really
been
was.
Incredible.
Yeah,
but we're not gonna...
5 turnovers yesterday though on 10 assists. What like that's
and it's the timing of them. Yeah. It's not all Fox's fault,
no,
but
Sabonis also had 5 turnovers.
He's definitely going to get some of this blame. And then right after, from the 209, the criticism of Fox was ridiculous. You have from the 530. I blame Fox for last night.
See,
last year, Fox was taking over games in the fourth quarter. This year is different. Teams pay special attention to him. Clearly, it wasn't working in the fourth quarter. Why doesn't Fox aggressively tell his teammates that he will get them an open shot and they need to knock it down? It's a team sport. I mean, I'm sure he's trying.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's trying.
I don't think yelling at the teammates to make shots is going to make them make shots.
We'll get into the Mike Brown stuff when we get back. There was a big move that he made that paid off in Minnesota, but did not pay off.
That's right.
And this is the guy that we were just praising.
It's my guy.
Right? And all of a sudden, you saw the boogeyman. You were shooketh, as the kids say. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Chris Brown at the Golden 1 Center this summer. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. and we will give you a caller number at that time for your chance to see Chris Brown, Chris Breezy, July 30th at the Golden 1 Center. Now, there will not be any Kings basketball being played in July. The question is, when will Kings basketball stop being played this season? Is it going to be April? Is it going to be June? Is it going to be May? When is it going to be? And based on what we saw last night, they're going to have a lot of time to get ready for Chris Breezy based on what we saw last night. Now, let's get into the Mike Brown blame and some of the things that we said. So I sent out a tweet yesterday just asking the question, hey, if you're blaming Mike Brown, what exactly are you blaming him for? These are some of the things that we saw. Taking out Fox and Sabonis to end the third, calling another timeout with 36 seconds left. That was on the inbound. I guess somebody felt like, hey, once Mike Brown saw that De'Aaron wasn't getting to it, could have called another timeout. Trey over Alex Len once Sabonis fouled out. In general, inconsistent rotations and all the blitzing, all the double teams. Those were the main things that I saw in response to what I had to say, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I get the I think taking Fox and Sabonis out to end the third definitely, especially in hindsight, looks really, really bad. Mike Brown hasn't done that really all year. It's been pretty much he's made a point to always have one of Fox and Sabonis out there. Again, I think in hindsight, it looks really, really bad when you end up blowing a 20-point lead, but I guess I'll play devil's advocate and say that I would assume that Mike Brown probably was thinking, hey, we're up 20 right now. If I can take Fox and Sabonis out, and then by the end of this third quarter, we're up 25, I might not need to play them in the fourth quarter at all. And so, you know, again, it looks bad when it goes the other way, but I think it was just a risk-reward that definitely didn't pay off in that moment. And, you know, yeah, taking Trey over Alex, again, is kind of, to me, a 2020 hindsight thing where, you know, we've seen Trey at the five work countless times. I've been begging for it.
It worked in Minnesota.
It worked in Minnesota. Right. It literally just worked the last game. Sabonis had just fouled out in the last game, and they went to this, and it worked wonderfully. I don't know. Yeah, I hear some of those things, definitely. I think the timeouts absolutely is something that you can blame Mike Brown for. Inconsistent rotations, absolutely, that's on the coaches. I just think everybody, every single team, Warriors, I mean, Kuminga and Moody have both made public statements this year about them getting playing time. I think every fan base and every player thinks that, you know, minutes can be dispersed differently. And the blitzing thing is just, I don't agree with blitzing most of the time, but I thought in a game like last night, like DeRozan had to have the ball out of his hands. You just had to take the ball out of his hands and make somebody else beat you. So
yeah, yeah. And going to the Fox and Sabonis to end the third, just to keep it in the context, they were up 20, and then going into the fourth quarter, they were up 14. Now, we know with teams that shoot the three, with the NBA these days, they shoot the three ball, we get any lead isn't safe. So they lost 6 points off their lead when they went with that. It was an odd lineup. I said to Chris, yeah, this lineup is not it. And there was no Fox. There was no Sabonis. They were still up 14 to go into the fourth, and Fox came back into the game. If you want to argue momentum, that's fine. But I would probably say that, I mean, momentum, you're at home. That you got a franchise guy.
Yeah.
And I've been hard on De'Aaron Fox in terms of, where he falls, and he's still growing as a player, right? Before we get into the rest of the responses, let's hear from Mike, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Mike? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
All right, Styles and Watkins. So I watched last night's game. I said, man, this seems like a definite win for the Kings. But Vujicic hitting threes, you know, kept them in the game. Mm-hmm. And then at halftime, you know, the Kings went up by 7. I said, all right, we should hold on to this. And I think a couple of the turning points were DeRozan, when our guy Keegan picked him up at half court, and all he had to do was flail his arms. So he got the call. I thought that was a turning point right there. Yeah. And then when DeRozan got the and one, also another turning point was when they reviewed the flagrant that was not, that kind of like stalled the game for a minute, and it gave the Bulls a little time. You know, they're probably in a huddle talking about some stuff, what they need to do. And when Sabonis fouled out, I'm like, okay, so my question for you guys is how many All-Stars, I know Sabonis isn't this year, but he's our star, but how many All-Stars really foul out? I'd like to know. Like, I don't think it's a lot.
That's definitely an interesting question because, I mean, obviously we know star calls are a thing, and so usually you don't find a lot of star, quote-unquote, star players with 5 fouls in many games.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Mike. We actually looked this up, what was it, just last week, Chris? Sabonis has the most personal fouls in the league, right?
Yes, he did. He does. I'm checking right now to see if that's still the case, but I believe...
Which feels like he should foul out more, to be honest.
He actually has... He's sixth right now. Karl-Anthony Towns and Alperen Şengün have the most personal fouls in the league at 198 right now.
Okay.
But Sabonis is sixth right now on the list. In personal
fouls. And Karl-Anthony Towns was an All-Star, and he fouls out, so there you go. Now, should he have been an All-Star and somebody else, then... You can have that conversation, but so you just named off how many All-Stars are in front of...
Let's see here. In
so
terms of
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Personal fouls, we have Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's it.
That's it. Rudy Gobert does have 4 less fouls this season than Sabonis. I guess Gobert technically wasn't an All-Star this season. Let me see. Giannis has 172 to Sabonis's 189. And really, that's really it. I mean, I'm not... Paul George has 156 fouls this year. I mean, really, Shea has 153. Jokic has 152. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is a significant drop from, again, Sabonis is at 189, and it looks like there's a big clump of all-star caliber guys around 155-ish. Mm-hmm. In the 150s is where there's a good helping of all-stars. So, yeah, I mean, he definitely does... foul a lot more, but also, you know, that's also kind of a product of how this Kings team is built. Like, Sabonis is this team's only rim protection. Like, Harrison Barnes is not defending the rim at all, and so Sabonis has to be the one to pretty much challenge every single shot at the rim, and you're going to pick up a lot of fouls when that's the case. Like, they have no other fail-safe, and Sabonis plays 34, 35 minutes a game. So he's playing a lot and he's getting pretty much all of the attention at the rim. So yeah, it's going to lead to a lot of fouls.
Yeah,
and because, he sets a ton of screens too, which is going to lead to your moving, you know, moving screen every
fouls.
So often.
Yeah, and here's a 916. This is essentially where people are kind of going with this. Is it because he fouls more than others or because the Kings get no ref respect? I think he, I mean,
he
like I said,
pretty physical.
You have Karl-Anthony Towns at the top, you know, who is an all-star on an up-and-coming team.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, I if it's the opposite, if you're talking about the benefit of the doubt, guys, remember that clip from a couple months ago with OG Anunoby, and he was in this dude, whoever he was defending, and there was a big, there was a nice clip, and it said, oh my goodness, OG Anunoby, this defense is crazy, and everybody, and I actually tweeted and I said, Chris Duarte does this, but he plays for the Kings, so he has 5 fouls in 2 minutes. I get where you're going with that, but that I don't think that is this.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I just think that it's a numbers game, and Sabonis plays really physically. Like, he plays more physical just in general than, he's probably in the 99th percentile, honestly, in the league, or I guess in the 1% of physical players in the NBA, and so I think he's always going to get, I wouldn't say a rough whistle, but, you know, more times than not, he's probably going to pick up at least, I mean, I think he averages 3.5 fouls per game. Like, that's probably, that sounds about right with how physical he plays, just with the elbows
being
thrown around.
People are going at him.
Exactly, that too, right, exactly. People are going at him.
That's how it is. This one from the 916 has a please answer in all caps.
Okay.
Is there another coach with more blown 20-point leads and ending up losing the game? Mike Brown's motivational speeches can only get you so far.
I would say yes. Let me see.
He's got to be up. The Kings have to be up there in blown leads. I don't know if they're number one, but.
I can try and check here. Yeah, I don't think that's like a stat that's
available.
I'll
tell you right now, they're top five.
Most blown leads in the 2023-24 season. I can't do 20, but I can do 10-point leads, and I can do blown fourth quarter leads. How about that? In terms of 10-point leads blown, the Kings are 8th in the NBA in 10-point leads blown. I don't know if that's updated from yesterday, but they have 10 blown 10-point leads. The only other – I mean, there's three teams really that – you know, are playoff teams. Yeah, exactly. There's the Suns who have 12. The Miami Heat have 11. That's Eric Spoelstra, best coach in the league. And New Orleans Pelicans have 11. Golden State has 10. Let's see here. Minnesota has 8. And then just blown fourth quarter leads. The Kings are actually pretty low down here. They are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th lowest in the NBA. So that would be 24th.
For fourth quarter.
For fourth quarter blown leads.
So they don't
seven.
Blow a lot of fourth quarter
They
leads.
Do not blow a lot of fourth quarter leads. Not, or maybe they do, but it's just not any more than what every other team does. And that's, you know, that's kind of a dangerous territory we're getting in here too, where, you know, you can't get caught in, hey, I watch, and I do too. I mean, I've watched 60 whatever Kings games this year. I've probably watched no more than 10 from my second most watched team. But, you know, let's not forget that the league is big and there are games every single night. Teams blow leads every single night and teams lose to teams they should not lose to every single night. Look at OKC last night. Losing to LA. They just lost to the Spurs the other day. Like, if the Kings had lost to the Spurs and then the Lakers in a week, like, I can only imagine what the Kings fans would be saying right now if they were a one seed. So let's just not forget that the league is wide and vast and things happen every single night to everybody. So let's try to not get lost in hyperbole.
No, you're right. You're right. Losing to the Lakers, I don't think will ever look like a bad loss if AD and LeBron are playing, though. Whether it it should or not.
Right. On a given night.
If the Kings lose to the Lakers tomorrow, I don't think people will be up in arms.
Agreed.
But not up in arms in the sense of
it's tough to say
they're a better team.
It's stacking on this. If it were its own individual loss, I think that people probably would say, oh, it's LeBron and AD any given night. Oh, LeBron's ridiculous, all that stuff. So, yeah, I would definitely say you're right there. And just in general, in terms of blown leads, Kings are middle of the pack in just overall blown leads.
There you have it.
And by the way, the Pistons and the Wizards and the Spurs are at the top of all of these. So,
well,
that makes sense. They're the worst teams in the NBA.
They should.
Again, that's my reminder that there's a lot of bad teams out there.
And
the Kings aren't supposed to be one of those bad teams. I hear you, but it happens.
It happens. And hopefully
it happens a lot.
Stops happening as much. We continue to go through the list of Mike Brown blame. We also talk about how when you're looking for a home, okay, it's location, location, location. When you were talking about the 2024 Sacramento Kings, the issue seems to be rotation, rotation, rotation. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
From the 916, the question isn't who has the most blown fourth quarter leads, but who has the least. Yes, some of the names. So again, the Kings have the fourth least. So they're pretty good in that regard. Might not feel like it, but they are. Some of the other teams that are ahead of the Kings, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Knicks, of course, Thibodeau not letting his team blow leads. So, yeah, it's exactly who you would expect, right? And the Kings are not – they're pretty good in that regard. It does not happen often. Now, of course, all these numbers are a bit flawed when it's blown 10-point leads. Is that at any time? You know what I mean? Is it – can you blow multiple throughout the game? Because the Kings – by the way, the Kings blew two.
That's right.
They blew a 14-point lead in the first half and said, you know what? I feel like LeBron. You know what? Another one. Here's two more for y'all. Now we're going to blow a 20-point lead. That's just what they have.
And I'm pretty sure that, to your point, I think that only counts as one. That does not count as two different 10-point leads blown. But also, this is from champsorchumps.com. So it's also, you know, not NBA.com, not ESPN.
These are pretty deep stats that we're trying to get into. And the bottom line is they just didn't get it done.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how you slice. It doesn't matter what other teams are doing. We're not even doing pocket watching today.
No.
There's no point.
No.
Because when you lose, now you got to worry. And the biggest pocket watching is tomorrow.
Yeah.
When you got to go play the King in LA.
And let me tell you, too, things are a lot closer than what I think everybody might realize for the Kings falling into that 9 seed right now.
Oh,
because the Lakers, they're a game and a half out.
I know.
They win tomorrow.
They know that.
They're a half game out of the Kings. That's it. And then they play again the following Wednesday.
He'll go two more for y'all.
That could be Lakers moving into that 8 seed real soon here, if they don't get their act together.
You're never just sitting still.
No,
you're trending upward or trending downward.
Yep.
And where we're at with what 20? Now we're down to 24 games, 23 games.
We are down to 22 games.
22 games.
Yes. 34 and 26.
22 games left. And you got to figure out something quickly, okay? Let's continue to get into the Mike Brown blame and where people found that blame. Chris, you highlighted most of them. I just got to the first one with taking out Fox and Sabonis. And honestly, I thought it was bizarre. Or not bizarre, but I thought it wasn't great.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a bizarre lineup. And it looked like it. It looked clunky. And that started to give the Bulls some belief. Some of it was the foul trouble from Sabonis, and you still had a double-digit lead going into the fourth, and a lot of people last night were asking the question to Mike Brown and to others, hey, how much of this is the NBA these days, and 15-point lead is not as ridiculous as it sounds. I hear you, but even still, we can have that conversation against the T-Wolves. I'm not having that conversation with the Bulls.
Right.
Who don't even really shoot the three ball like that.
No.
You got DeRozan out here looking like Steph Curry. Okay? That's literally what it is right now. So the other pieces that came through, calling another timeout with 36 seconds left, that's your franchise guy taking the ball out. You just use a timeout. There's 36 seconds.
Yeah.
You cannot afford to fry another timeout there.
And I think that would have been their last timeout.
It would have been their last timeout.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't.
Moment. You literally just came off of a timeout.
Right.
These guys are pros. These are not elementary school kids. Like, if you guys can't, you know, get the play down in one sitting, like, you know, and, you know, I just think that, you know, at that time, De'Aaron was afraid. Like, it was just a lot of hesitation.
It was a lot of hesitation. Yeah, and the postgame, De'Aaron said there was miscommunication with Malik, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Malik, and Malik came in and De'Aaron threw it out. You can't call another timeout there. You got to trust your guys to figure it out. And unfortunately, that was the worst.
Just get the ball in, man.
That was the worst. I mean, if a better argument is not calling another timeout, a better argument is what did you draw up?
Yes, yeah.
That's a better argument for the Mike Brown blame. Not to call another timeout. It's what did you draw up coming out of the timeout?
Yeah.
What was the escape valve? You need an escape valve.
Well, the escape valve, and I think De'Aaron explained it, and again, it more just leads to hesitation, was – so they had Kevin Huerter drive towards the rim, and then Malik came pretty much to right in front of De'Aaron, and you know, De'Aaron tried to, you know, throw it over his head and all that. The escape valve was HB was up top, guarded by Vucevic. He was only out there because Sabonis had just fouled out, and De'Aaron said, you have a 6'8 guy against a 6'11 guy, and he was just kind of, you see him like kind of pump fake it once, and he was just afraid to make that over the top throw, but you know, I kind of feel like that's the play you need to make. I mean, you have from the 3-point line pretty much to the half court line to just lob it over the top, and I just think you have to trust that HB is going to get it.
Yeah, and the other one that came up, there are a couple more here. The big picture ones we will get into throughout the show, inconsistent rotations, so we will save that for later in the show. But Trey Lyles over Alex Len, you spoke to it. I'll speak to it here. Trey Lyles was scared,
Okay, some of the kids would say he was shooketh.
Yeah.
He was scary, as some kids would say. My little cousin will say that sometimes. Oh, you scary. That was Trey Lyles. You came in the game, and they treated you like Draymond Green. There was nobody.
Like Jaylen Brown.
Like Jaylen Brown against the Warriors. There was nobody within. It was 6 feet.
Yeah.
There was nobody around you, and you were afraid to shoot.
Yeah.
So Mike Brown spoke to that, and his decision, it worked out in Minnesota. We've seen it work it multiple times. If you're going small and not stretching the floor, it's completely useless.
Yeah.
All you're doing is putting yourself in the, we just can't rebound. And we're also not going to shoot threes. I don't know what was wrong with Trey Lyles. He had made at least one that day.
Yeah,
but he hasn't been hot for a couple weeks now.
It's really since the All-Star break.
I'm looking it up right here. I know he had one at some point. Trey Lyles, this is my third quarter guy right here. He was 1 for 5 going into the fourth. He was 1 for 5 going into the fourth, and he only took threes. He only took threes.
And that's what made it so weird. He finished 3 of 10, 1 of 6 from three with 9 points. The weird thing, too, about Trey not deciding to shoot, and Mike Brown made it very, very clear in his post-game press conference. Again, this is where I think that there might be a miscommunication between execution and what is actually being told of them. Mike Brown specifically said multiple times, do not get too deep on this team because they like to condense the paint. They're really good at protecting the paint, but they're really bad at defending the three. And so Mike said in his postgame press conference, I told these guys, you cannot drive the lane and then hope, like get really near the rim and then hope to kick it out like we always do, because these guys will double you, they'll make it hard. And that's exactly what happened with Trey on that three, that where he could have taken the three but then instead decided to drive, and then he turns around and gets a turnover, and you can't have that. Like Mike Brown talked about it all last year when it came to Trey. He said he specifically told Trey, when we scouted you, when I was on the Warriors, and we scouted you as a player, we said, he's going to pump fake. He is going to pump fake and then drive. And so Mike Brown told Trey, if that's our scouting report and everybody else's scouting report, what does that tell you? Shoot that thing, because no one's expecting you to take it, even though you're a great shooter. And he said, Mike said yesterday, he's like, we cannot have guys turning down good looks from three, because that's what the goal is. The goal is to get an open three in the offense. And if you're turning that down, well, then you're turning down the answer and you're going to get a worse shot 100% of the time. And that's where, again, there's just a lack of execution sometimes from these players. And I think Mike Brown, unfortunately, sometimes gets the bad end of the stick there. And I understand that's part of the job, but that's not on him. That's on Trey Lyles making bad decisions.
Trey Lyles was 3 of 10 from the field, and he was 1 of 6 from three-point range. He finished with 9 points. He was perfect from the free throw line, though. He was 2 for 2.
That's right.
He was 2 for 2.
Kings only missed what, 2 yesterday?
We gotta find positives somewhere. Mike Brown also said something last night in the postgame, and a texter is highlighting it, and thank you for highlighting it, because I did think it was weird. And I did think it was a little bit of a cop-out. We will break down what that was. We will also discuss the rotations and why Mike Brown is starting to look like a former manager out of San Francisco. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.